Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host. I'll be guiding you about a bit of the battle space of the war for the free world with some rock stars in the business. We'll be speaking in segment two with Congressman Trent Franks. He will dissect the truth of the threat posed by electromagnetic pulse to this country. Did Newt Gingrich get it right? Did the New York Times. You'll want to hear what Trent Franks has to say on it. Segment three, we'll be speaking with Eric Stackelbeck about one of the emerging leaders of the enemies we face under the banner of Sharia. It's Youssef al-Qaradawi. Who is he? What is his agenda? And what does it mean for you? We'll get into that. And the prospects of a new caliphate forming up under his tutelage in the form of the Organization of the Islamic Conference. What is Hillary Clinton doing treating with such people? And finally, Steve Malloy, one of the country's leading skeptics on climate change, will help explain what happened in Durban, South Africa in recent days, and what is it going to cost us in the future. All of that lies ahead, but first, I wanted to share with you, again, some concerns that I have as we watch this week counting down. All other things being equal, by the end of the week, we're going to see something very bad happening to religious freedom, a critically important pillar of this country's value system, and as we'll hear from Trent Franks shortly, its very character, as well as what it stands for around the world. Well, I'll come back to what's at stake here, but what's the backstory? Well, we've been hearing a lot about the Muslim Brotherhood lately, particularly here at Secure Freedom Radio, and none of it is good news. We better get used to it. With the Brotherhood's ascendancy in the Middle East, North Africa, Turkey, and beyond, the world is going to be subjected to a crash course in Islamist supremacism and what it means for all of us. I think we were on notice about this even before the Egyptian elections panned out as they did, predictably, with the Muslim Brotherhood and their allies securing upwards of 60% of the votes in that country's new post-Mubarak parliament. We are also given a fair warning by the murderous violence towards Coptic Christians that preceded those elections. And then, if we needed one, a further reminder came on December 7th when a three-judge panel of the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously affirmed convictions of leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood Associated Holy Land Foundation. Now, that earlier trial in 2008 did much to expose the totalitarian, supremacist nature and seditious objectives of that group elsewhere and here in the United States. Among the evidence that was introduced, by the way, uncontested by the defense in that case, by federal prosecutors interested in establishing that the Muslim Brotherhood has established myriad front organizations, including the Islamic Society of North America, better known as ISNA, the Council on American Islamic Relations, better known as CARE, and the North American Islamic Trust, NAIT. All were identified in some of the documents, in particular, a strategic plan of the Muslim Brotherhood that became part of the basis upon which these co-conspirators in the Holy Land Foundation caper were initially convicted and now affirmed in that conviction. What that document also told us is that these Muslim Brotherhood fronts and others are engaged in a stealthy form of holy war, a program explicitly designed to, quote, eliminate and destroy Western civilization from within by their hands, meaning ours. Now, as we'll be talking about in the course of the program, this is troubling in many respects, not least the extent to which Hillary Clinton and others like her are embracing the Muslim Brotherhood or its official multinational counterpart, the so-called Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Indeed, the meeting that is being held in the State Department this week, as we'll be discussing with both Congressman Franks and with our guest Eric Stackelbeck, has as its purpose, according to the OIC, quote, countering media campaigns and fabrications made by some quarters in non-member states, meaning us, regarding the mistreatment of non-Muslim minorities and communities in the OIC member states under the slogans of religious freedoms and so on, unquote. In other words, the Muslim Brotherhood, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and other adherents to this Islamist political-military legal doctrine of Sharia seek to impose their Sharia blasphemy laws worldwide, making it impossible for us, well, to have this kind of conversation or the visits that we'll be having shortly with our other guests, lest it offend Muslims and be portrayed by them as Islamophobia, no matter how accurately what we say may be. This is so troubling, and it is bad enough that that's going on at the State Department. Now we're seeing in the United States Senate a kind of stealth jihad taking place there as well, aimed at shutting down the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom. This is an organization, practically the only official entity still operating today, that is speaking the truth about what's going on in the wider world, as well as in the United States, when it comes to religious freedom or efforts by those who adhere to Sharia to suppress it, to, well, put it out of business. The unpaid commissioners who have, since 1998, when the commission was founded, rendered incalculably important service, are more needed today with respect to monitoring and reporting on threats to religious freedom than at any time in the past, I would argue. In fact, for example, they have rendered critically important service in the past in documenting what's happening to the Copts in Egypt and Christians and Jews in other parts of the Middle East, what's happening to non-Sharia-adherent Muslims and apostates from Islam who have been raped, tortured, and in some cases killed for deviating from what is deemed to be the true faith by the Brotherhood, the OIC, and like-minded forces. The Commission has also helped expose what the Saudis are up to in terms of bringing to American madrasas, as they're called, Islamic schools, textbooks published in Saudi Arabia that incite students to jihadism. They've also, by the way, incited them to kill gay people. In fact, describing in some of these textbooks the three approved ways for doing that. And now that the Obama team has made promoting the radical lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender agenda, what Mrs. Clinton calls a U.S. foreign policy priority, you would think that the administration would be grateful for the work that the Religious Freedom Commission has done. Not so. In fact, it's been working with Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, the man who has been closely linked to the Islamist Brotherhood fronts in his native Illinois and in Washington and elsewhere around the country, to put out of business this International Religious Freedom Commission. And we'll be visiting with two of our guests, Trent Franks and Eric Stackelbeck about what the stakes are for us here in the United States, as well as for all the people around the world for whom this entity is the last best hope and certainly most trusted and important American voice. We mustn't let this happen, folks. I hope you'll engage with Senator Dick Durbin and with your senators, if he's not one of them, to impress upon them the importance of keeping the International Religious Freedom Commission going. We need it now more than ever. Next up, we'll be talking about EMP with Trent Franks and much more. Straight ahead.
I was able to lose the 80 pounds I gained due to pregnancy. It was pretty easy to eat whatever I wanted and not think about it.
The Meta System from Judy Singer has been helping make weight loss easier for a quarter century.
My husband's grandmother used it 20 years ago to lose weight for a wedding and said it was the only way to go.
The Meta System also has an excellent support staff.
They were very supportive. The first time that I ordered the product, they called me and suggested that I order a lower dosage to begin with. They didn't want me to jump the gun right off the bat, and it was not nice to know that they actually cared.
And the weight loss is so dramatic, people wonder.
With the Meta System, I've got many questions about how I managed raising a baby and working full-time and lose the weight and eat whatever I wanted.
People who use it recommend it.
I suggested the Meta System to my mother, and she has lost 30 pounds.
Learn more about weight loss with Judy Singer's The Meta System by calling 800-711-JUDY, 800-711-JUDY. The Meta System from Judy Singer, the powerful all-natural way to lose weight, 800-711-JUDY.
The first step in winning a war is to know whom you're fighting. 9 years after 9/11, the U.S. security establishment has failed to tell us. The very words we need to describe the war are being outlawed. We went from the war on terror under Bush to the war on man-made disasters under Obama. Neither identifies the threat doctrine behind the aggression, Islamic Sharia law. That's why the Center for Security Policy assembled Team B, an independent group of national security professionals, including Bill Clinton's Director of Central Intelligence, James Woolsey. The result is a book that challenges the assumptions of the current administration and exposes the supremacist nature of Sharia and the jihad its adherents are obliged to engage in. This report names the names of those responsible and makes plain the mortal peril now posed to America's Constitution, our national security, and way of life. For more information, visit ShariaTheThreat.com or order your copy of Sharia, The Threat to America at Amazon.com.
Congress doesn't have a budget for 2011, but the GOP has proposed a budget for 2012, and Bill Bennett likes it.
Maybe it helps to have that 2012 in the background, people hearing and seeing Ryan and the Republicans saying we're serious about really cutting the budget.
As a backdrop
to this debate about 2011, people make the decision, well, Republicans seem much more serious about this.
Bill Bennett's Morning in America, weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on 1260 WRC. New choice, intelligent talk.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're delighted to be joined for this segment by Congressman Trent Franks, a man I admire tremendously. He is a man of many parts, a representative of the people of Arizona in the United States House. He is a member of the House Armed Services Committee and its Judiciary Committee. He chairs in the latter connection its Constitution Subcommittee. But Congressman Franks is someone we have turned to frequently in the past to illuminate an issue that he has been a leader on, namely the threat posed by electromagnetic pulse attack. We're going to get into the question of whether it's a real threat or a fiction of someone's imagination with Congressman Franks. Welcome back, sir. It's always great to have you with us. Thank you for finding a few minutes for us here at Secure Freedom Radio.
Well, I just have to tell you, I think that Gingrich is spot on target here with his concerns related to electromagnetic pulse. You know, Frank, we've engineered ourselves in modernity here in America into a greater vulnerability to naturally occurring and man-made EMP than ever before. I mean, it's not like it was 30 years ago when we had a lot of our electric infrastructure was much more robust against EMP than it is today. We have, in some of our scatter controls, we have circuits that are your 9 molecules wide. I mean, they don't even make a good flash bulb, and that's in our control systems. And but the reality is, without going into a lot of technical detail, the EMP Commission, the Department of Defense, NASA, the National, Federal Energy and Regulatory Commission, the National Academy of Sciences, all of them have looked at this issue, and all of them come up with essentially the same conclusion, that this is potentially one of the greatest threats facing our society. It's one of the few threats, according to the EMP Commission, that can hold our society to potentially catastrophic consequences. And so I'm just astonished that the New York Times, I've read their article, and they don't cite experts. They sort of poo-poo the situation. But my question then is, what do they know that we don't? What is it that gives them this confidence? And they speak, of course, only of the man-made, the nuclear, or the IEMI type of EMP, but they don't point out that the Carrington effect, the major coronal mass ejection from the sun, can be one of the more dangerous elements of electromagnetic pulse, and they don't even deal with that. So I just find the New York Times totally irresponsible in this particular article.
Congressman Frank says your answer to that last question suggests you bring to this subject a training as an engineer, as I recall. So you know something about these technical issues that I would suggest that William Broad, the author of this piece, seems not to, or at least has gotten away from him. It's specifically on this question of how irresponsible this front page story was. Does it concern you that it may reinforce a kind of, the old Mad Magazine line, "What me worry," comes to mind here, that might further discourage action in the Congress on the SHIELD Act that you have sponsored, and perhaps an executive order that I understand is awaiting the president's signature that would help mitigate our vulnerability to the sort of catastrophic dangers you've described, naturally occurring or man-caused?
Well, it definitely does. The SHIELD Act is supported strongly by those groups who are truly informed as to the threat. And the New York Times here sort of distorts the cost of something like this to at least harden the grid to the extent that there wouldn't be any catastrophic issues. In other words, there are new technologies, Frank, that I think are fantastic. In fact, we had one literally brought in a diesel truck to less than a mile west of the U.S. Capitol here that I went to see personally. It's a neutral blocker that goes on the neutral phase of the circuits coming into the transformers, and it does two things. Number one, if there is an electromagnetic pulse or a surge that could be dangerous to cause the transformers to burn themselves up, it opens that circuit on the neutral side, which is a much easier proposition. Secondly, because it adds such a safety factor to the entire system, it allows the system to operate at a higher capacity and more than pays for itself. It is a very, very cost-effective fix to this. It doesn't solve all of our problems. There are so many accoutrements to the grid that, we have to look at a lot of our communication systems. But the real catastrophe, the real cataclysm that could potentially occur from a major EMP effect would be the shutting down of our grid, the loss of our electric power to the extent that it could precipitate untold numbers of Americans dying. And I, again, just believe that the New York Times here is way out of their league. One of the sources that they do quote, Philip Coyle of the Union of Concerned Scientists, this man has constantly said that missile defense was strictly a theoretical situation, that it was like hitting bullets with bullets. And, I mean, of course, you know and I know that we do hit bullets with bullets, in effect. In other words, we hit our accuracy is tantamount to hitting a dot on the side of a bullet with a bullet consistently. And so the sources that they cite are not so much experts in the engineering realm, but these are really just political critics, and these are the ones that are trying to shoot down our, if you will, our ability to shoot down incoming missiles. And so I have no way to express to you without sounding like I'm speaking hyperbole just how irresponsible this article was, and just for the record, just how correct Newt Gingrich was.
Yeah. Congressman Trent Franks is our guest, member of the House Armed Services and Judiciary Committee. And let me quickly turn, Congressman, in the remaining couple of minutes we have with you, to a subject that I know has been of concern to you, particularly in your Judiciary Committee responsibilities for the Constitution. We have a number of steps that are now being taken by the Obama administration involving training that is being subjected to approvals by people associated with the Muslim Brotherhood. We have Hillary Clinton just today, as a matter of fact, meeting with members of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation to figure out ways to seemingly restrict our First Amendment freedom of expression rights in order to avoid blasphemy of Sharia. We also have very worrying, apparently, Senator Dick Durbin succeeding, at least all other things being equal, in shutting down an international religious freedom commission that has done tremendously important work in monitoring these sorts of things. What's your sense of how far down the tubes we are on these sorts of subjects, and what can be done about it?
Well, Frank, I'll just quickly say one overarching thing. If we don't change presidents in this next election, I don't know what is to become of America. With that said, speaking of the Sharia issue, this Thursday, the subcommittee, or I should say that's Wednesday the 14th, that's this Wednesday, the Subcommittee on the Constitution, which I chair, will be holding a hearing on judicial reliance on foreign law. Now, that's sort of a broad-sounding title, but it's also meant to keep our courts from basing or authorizing their decisions on foreign law, and specifically things like Sharia law, because this thing is getting, in the name of political correctness, we are completely jettisoning the truth, and we're losing our sense of being holding ourselves subject to reality. And of course, your comment on Mr. Durbin doing away with the International Religious Freedom Commission, let me tell you, I am very concerned about that. As you may know, and I believe you're in agreement, that religious freedom is at the core of all of our other freedoms. If we don't have the freedom to worship as we choose, as long as we're not hurting anyone else, then all other freedoms are lost. Even a condemned murderer that we're about to execute is afforded his religious freedom. And because we know it to be so basic to the American ideal that all of us have created, and sometimes, you know, that the notion that that we can force people to believe a certain way, or in the name of blasphemy laws, force people to ignore the philosophical underpinnings of a particular theology or ideology to the detriment of all of the human family is just insane.
It is indeed.
And
Congressman, we've got to let it go at that.
You
said it well, and good luck tomorrow with the hearing. I look forward to talking with you afterwards to find out what you have established and what you are going to do to ensure that we do not allow foreign laws to dominate in our courts. And God bless you, sir. Keep up the great work.
God bless you all.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Hey, parents. Finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi, son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak...
Oh, you know, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean, I'll fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org.
A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Adopt Us Kids and the Ad Council.
For decades, the Democratic Republic of Congo has endured economic collapse, poverty, and war. More than 3.5 million people have died in the conflict. Today, rebel forces continue to wreak havoc in the eastern Kivu provinces. The International Rescue Committee estimates that 30,000 children have been recruited as soldiers, and thousands more have lost their parents. Most of these children lack the most basic level of goods, security, and most especially, clean drinking water. Yet, there is a well of hope coming to eastern Congo in a village called Uvira. Washington, D.C.'s National Community Church is partnering with Global Outreach to bring a water pipeline to the Congo for Christ compound, an orphanage for children who have lost their parents to war and AIDS. Building a clean water source will sustain the school, provide for the children, and hundreds more in the village. Go to www.waterforcongo.com. Learn about the work of Global Outreach and give. You can be part of the community in Uvira, and like a well, you can be a source of hope in life. www.waterforcongo.com.
Hi, I'm Drew Brees, NFL quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, here with Bugs Bunny to remind you to get moving every day.
Because when you get moving an hour a day,
you fuel your body and your mind.
So what do you like to throw around the football like Drew?
Skateboard.
Play frisbee in the park.
Ride a bike.
Kick the soccer ball around.
Or dance in your room.
Just move it your way.
Because nothing makes you feel better than moving every day.
And that makes you part of a winning team.
So be a player.
You'll have more energy to do the things you like to do.
Move it your way and be a player.
Get up and play an hour a day, Doc. Check out how to be a player at letsmove.gov.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
That's right, at letsmove.gov. Let's hear that one more time, Doc. That's www.letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
I'll pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Intelligent Talk on WRC 1260.
Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We are back, joined by the inimitable Eric Stackelbeck of CBN News. You must watch his program, Stackelbeck on Terror. We'll be talking momentarily about one of the features that he treated us to just yesterday and with an update today on Iran and Hezbollah. But before we get to that, Eric, you've done some blogging recently about a character and really an agenda that he espouses that is going to inform everything else we talk about with you today. Tell us about Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi. Who is he, and what is he up to, and why should it be of concern to all of us?
Well, Frank, thanks for having me, as always. Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi is a name every American should know, because this is a guy who, with the so-called Arab Spring / Islamist winter, has become the most influential Muslim cleric in the world. You know, he's 86 years old, Frank, believe it or not. He is the spiritual leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. He is the guy, the ideological father of this group right now. He hosts a show on Al Jazeera. It's actually the largest and most popular show on Al Jazeera. It's called Sharia and Life, which is interesting, Frank, because when I think of Sharia, I think of death. Nevertheless, the show is called Sharia and Life, and it reaches tens of millions of Muslims across the Middle East, and he also reaches into Europe. With the Muslim Brotherhood winning elections in Egypt, accompanied by Salafi parties, Look for Karadawi to become even more influential. And a very telling thing here, Frank, he was banned from Egypt for 30 years under Hosni Mubarak. Karadawi could not enter the country. But last February, just 1 week after Mubarak was thrown under the bus unceremoniously by the Obama administration, kicked out of power, Karadawi returned to Egypt and delivered Friday prayers at Tahrir Square to a crowd of 1 million. And that's not
that's,
a
of course, the symbolic center of the Egyptian revolution. And what did he say in the course of these remarks to the madding crowd?
Well, Frank, I think the key point of his remarks to a crowd of 1 million, once again, he led a chant that's, and he said, "On to Jerusalem, martyrs in the million." Other than that, Frank, he's a perfectly moderate and reasonable guy, as many on the left would tell you about Karadawi.
Well, let's not even say that facetiously, because I'm quite certain that the Obama administration is anxious to find a way to reach out and engage him. Speaking of which, Eric, in Washington, D.C., as we were just talking about with Congressman Trent Franks a moment ago, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation is sitting down to see what they can do with Hillary Clinton, our Secretary of State, to bridge the differences between our freedoms of expression and speech in this country, guaranteed by our Constitution, and Sharia blasphemy laws espoused by people like Sheikh Yousef Karadawi. Tell us about these conversations and what should be of concern to all of us might come out of them.
Well, Frank, number one, the outcome that could come out of it is guys like you and I would not be able to have this conversation
among
that we're
other
having
things
right now.
Right.
Yeah, true. We would not be able to have this conversation. This is a 3-day conference here in Washington, D.C., where the Obama administration, State Department representatives are meeting with representatives from this group, the OIC. Now, Frank, you've covered the OIC for years. You've done a great job of showing that this group, it's every Muslim country in the world, all Islamic nations united into one bloc with a very powerful voice at the UN. And I think the seeds are being laid with this group for a modern-day caliphate. It's all right there. Right now we have with the OIC.
Certainly their aspiration, Eric Stackelbeck. There's no question about that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Imagine economic, political, military pooling their resources into one powerful entity. The groundwork is being laid there for the OIC. They have a foundation there with the OIC. And with blasphemy laws, if they are passed, if the U.S. signs on to this, talk about a chilling climate here in the U.S., Frank, for any criticism.
Yeah, Eric, tell us what this means, Sharia blasphemy laws, and what would it portend as a practical matter for, say, freedom of speech in this country?
What we are doing right now, Frank, discussing this, would be classified as hate speech, without a doubt. This, in a really Orwellian future that is not outside the realm of possibility if these laws pass, you could see people who criticize the Quranic teachings, who take an honest look at the Quran, the Hadiths, Islam's core texts, and how they motivate violence. And we know this because the jihadis themselves are pointing to these texts as their motivators. An honest look, unvarnished look at the Quran, the Hadiths, Islam's core texts, it could get you a jail sentence.
Yeah. This is troubling, particularly because, as we have seen, where this sort of encroachment on civil liberties has already taken place, as you know so well, Eric Stackelbeck of CBN News, in Europe, truth is deemed not a defense by those who are effectively imposing through the European court systems, the civil court systems, what amounts to Sharia blasphemy. Could that really come here, where we do have a constitutional right to freedom of expression?
Absolutely it could, Frank, because this administration, under this administration, if Obama wins 4 more years especially, they want to shift America towards the European socialist model. They aspire to be like Europe. And in Europe, as you said, these blasphemy laws are running amok. I've interviewed counter-jihad activists, Frank, in Europe who've been on trial for hate speech, for defamation of religion, for simply reiterating what's in the Quran and in the Hadiths. This is the environment the Obama administration, led by the Obama Department of Justice, I might add, their civil rights division, which is the most left-wing, radical division of a very radical DOJ, this is the end game for the Obama administration.
Eric Steckelbeck, let me turn to something that I was just talking also about with Congressman Trent Franks a moment ago about the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. I know at CBN News you make your daily work the monitoring of what is happening not only elsewhere but in this country on religious freedom and particularly the treatment to which minorities, Christians, Jews, even Muslims that do not subscribe to Sharia are subjected by those who do subscribe to Sharia. But the only institution of the United States government, as you know, Eric, that is still actively addressing these sorts of issues in light of what the Obama administration is doing is the congressionally mandated Blue Ribbon Commission on International Religious Freedom. What is happening, and what would happen if Senator Dick Durbin were successful in essentially garroting this commission as he seems want to do in the Senate at the moment?
This would be a major victory for jihadists around the world, Frank, but without a doubt. That commission has stood strong for religious minorities for years in the face of an unrelenting Islamic jihad in the Middle East and elsewhere, where Christians, Hindus, Jews, or whoever are persecuted by Muslim majorities. This commission has stood strong, and including here in the U.S., where you have Islamists in America who intimidate genuinely moderate Muslims here on U.S. soil. This would grant the Muslim Brotherhood and Muslim Brotherhood-connected groups who want to impose Sharia in this country, it would grant them a great victory. And you have to wonder if these Muslim Brotherhood-associated groups here in America are in Senator Durbin's ear. He's got a large Muslim constituency, and there's absolutely political considerations here for him. And you have to wonder who's in his ear helping to push this initiative. If it goes through, it's a dark day for religious freedom.
It is indeed. And I think there's no question, Eric Steckelbeck, that Dick Durbin has been closely aligned with these Islamist, in fact, Muslim Brotherhood fronts in some cases for many years. And this would not be a good day for freedom, that's for sure, and it must not be allowed to happen. I hope everyone listening to this program will try to get in touch with Senator Dick Durbin's office and impress upon him the importance of maintaining this one monitor of international religious freedom. And Eric Steckelbeck, I hope your audience as well, which is vastly more engaged on many of these issues and informed about them, will also play a role in staving off what is otherwise going to be, as you say, a very dark day. Eric, we've run out of time to talk about Iran and Hezbollah. I look forward to having you back very soon to do that. If you'll join us once again, keep up the great work, my friend, at CBN, and thanks for spending some time with us here at Secure Freedom Radio. Next up, noted climate change skeptic Steve Malloy joins us to help us understand what happened in Durban, South Africa, where your tax dollars have been at work and perhaps a great many more are now being committed to mitigating man-caused impact on the climate.
I went from a size 18 down to a size 5, and I was able to keep it off.
Angie had some serious challenges.
I had gone through a divorce and put on quite a bit of weight. There was an accident where I was put on a lot of medication, and I put on over 60 pounds. I tried every kind of diet, but diets just did not work.
Diets don't work is something they hear a lot over at the MetaSystem from Judy Singer.
I heard about Judy Singer's MetaSystem, and I thought, well, you know, couldn't hurt to call, and I called them up, and they told me all about the product, and I thought, well, I'll give it a try. From the first week that I was on it, I wasn't hungry a lot, and it was just amazing. Jumping about 3 months ahead, I dropped 63 pounds.
If you're ready for a natural product that cleanses your system and helps you lose fat, talk to a Judy Singer counselor about the MetaSystem. Call 1-800-711-JUDY, 1-800-711-JUDY. The MetaSystem from Judy Singer. Powerful, all-natural weight loss. 1-800-711-JUDY.
Hi. This is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real special forces, ours need ammunition. And in the war of ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a non-profit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its special forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
I have held the same mirror for 13 years.
I have been decorated with purple dinosaurs, baseball teams, and football helmets.
I have witnessed 33 Thanksgiving dinners and one wedding proposal.
I have tiny notches marking the growth of three children.
I have caused a learning disability.
I am the reason that a fifth grader simply can't sit still.
I am responsible for a five-year-old's rage.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home is built before 1978, your family could be at risk. Let's make all kids lead-free kids. Log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD.
I am the reason a child has trouble hearing.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
Brought to you by the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Is Nancy Pelosi looking to a higher power to get a balanced budget? Hugh Hewitt sets her straight.
When I hear you speak about this issue, of course, it's the Gospel of Matthew. When I was hungry, you gave me to eat and listen to
I just got to stop here. Nancy Pelosi quoting the Gospel of Matthew, as though that's got anything to do with the government. Let me just tell you, it doesn't.
Can I get an amen?
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weeknights from 6 to 9 on 1260 WRC. New choice, intelligent talk.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here, just like they did over there. So now, I'm never alone. I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill,
or VA hospitals,
managing the transition home,
or meeting people you can share stories with,
you'll find it at IAVA.org.
Even if it's just everyday stuff,
like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say
sweater?
That?
Really?
What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We are joined by Stephen Malloy. He is a senior fellow, I'm very pleased to say, at the Center for Security Policy and the author of JunkScience.com, one of our go-to guys on matters involving climate change and the efforts to, well, basically euchre the civilized world, at least the developed part of the civilized world, into paying enormous sums to try to mitigate alleged man-caused changes in the environment. And, Stephen, I know you've been following closely what's been happening in recent days in Durban. We're told there's some brand spanking new agreement out there. What was, in fact, accomplished, and what does it mean for us?
Well, the annual UN climate meeting just wound up over the last weekend in Durban, and although nothing really occurred, of course they always claim accomplishments, and the accomplishment they claimed is an extension of the Kyoto Protocol for 5 years. Of course, the bad news for the signatories there is that Canada has already withdrawn from the Kyoto Protocol, and Japan and Russia said that they would not sign on to the extension. So this leaves just the European nations in Kyoto Protocol hell. Another, alleged.
So let me just, if I may interrupt you, Steve, what we were told was that there's been some breakthrough because not only has the United States gotten involved in some new endeavor, but the Chinese and Indians are involved. This is obviously not the extension of the Kyoto Protocol.
No, I was just getting to that. So the next alleged accomplishment is essentially an agreement to agree in the future on a allegedly legally binding agreement. Supposedly the Chinese and Indians have agreed to participate in that process. Of course, if you haven't been to law school, an agreement to agree is not an agreement. So, yes, the process will continue on into the future. This new replacement for the Kyoto Protocol is supposed to be drafted by 2015 and signed by then, and then it would be implemented in 2020.
You were a little skeptical.
Okay. Skeptical.
What we're also hearing, Steve, is that there's been an understanding reached that seems a little bit more tangible, a little bit more concrete, a little bit more than just an agreement to agree at some point in the indefinite future, concerning funding for various projects involving climate change mitigation or otherwise, fulminating about this problem. Is that also smoke and mirrors?
Well, that is a little more real, not much more real. In 2009, at the Copenhagen conference, President Obama agreed to participate in contributing to a $100 billion fund for developing nations.
Now, let me make sure I've got this right. $100 billion fund?
Yes.
B as
yes.
in boy?
Yes.
B
not,
as in Barack Obama?
Yes.
Okay, smokes. That's real money.
It's not $100 billion just from the United States. It's $100 billion from all developing countries. And, of course, the more common phrase for this is just foreign aid. And so far, since that commitment, U.S. has contributed, I think recently a report on this, about $3.5 billion has already gone out the door. Now, it's kind of confusing.
Steve, where does the money go? I mean, is there any evidence that this is actually being usefully used and making a difference, or is it just more money down a rat hole in unaccountable U.N. Climate change hell?
Well, I think most foreign aid is just money down a rat hole. I mean, we're giving money to these non-democratic, corrupt regimes. God knows where the money goes. It can't possibly do anything for the environment or climate because it's not being channeled into anything useful. It's going into this, the myth of saving the planet from man-made carbon dioxide, which is, of course, a junk science. Now,
of your monitoring effort, it bears a remembering. and Steve, just so I'm clear about this, because I think much of this is smoke and mirrors, no pun intended. Where does the money go exactly? It's money that is spent from this fund, by the leaders of various countries, and for what purpose? And is there any accountability at all?
There's no accountability. It's money that basically goes into a UN pot and the UN distribute. The UN has various projects. We could do more on this. I don't have the details at hand, but it doesn't go directly to countries. It basically goes to the UN to administer.
Which means it's in a black hole, right?
Yeah.
As far as that goes.
In some ways, Obama is zooming the developing world because, as Hillary Clinton said after he made the commitment, this is not new funding. I mean, this is money that we would waste anyway.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, then I feel better about that. All right. And Steve, before we let you go, tell us what's the latest in terms of the science of global warming, the junk science, as I suspect you would have it. There are reports, coincidentally, I'm sure, timed to come out in the midst of this conference in Durban, South Africa, indicating that a quarter of the glaciers, I believe it was in Switzerland, have just disappeared. And is there now compelling new evidence or greater consensus, as they say, that this is a real problem?
Well, there's no new science showing that humans are destroying the climate. The most interesting new information came out right before the Durban conference in the form of more ClimateGate emails. In 2009, 1,000 emails were leaked out of the University of East Anglia in the UK. About a month ago, 5,000 more emails came out, which exposed the UN IPCC scientists as engaging in all kinds of skullduggery, having no confidence in their own science, rigging the National Research Council review of the so-called hockey stick, working with environmentalist groups to keep the global warming scare going, including at the New York Times, really discussing stuff that has not got enough attention in the mainstream media for obvious reasons.
Yeah. The suspicion being that we've, I think, all had for some time that there is a sort of industry, a cottage industry here that is being handsomely promoted by the government with its tax dollars, our tax dollars, I should say, and nurtured, if not given considerable boosting by the so-called mainstream media. Steve Malloy is our guest. Where, then, do we find ourselves at the end of this latest round of negotiations, fundraising, Climate Gate 2.0 document dumps? Is there any course change likely to happen, at least as long as Barack Obama is president, as you see it now? And if not, do we keep driving off of a cliff here?
Well, as long as he's president, there is no course change. I mean, the real problem right now is that the Environmental Protection Agency is gearing up to regulate greenhouse gases. They are planning on coming out with their proposed regulations for power plants, which is really the nut. And so that's really where the next battle is. And of course, EPA is regulating greenhouse gases because cap and trade failed. So the international stuff is kind of a sideshow. The only important part ought to be the money that's being wasted on the UN process. But the real battle now is at EPA. And, you know, President Obama is really using EPA as this aggressive agency to go after fossil fuels. And that's what Republicans in Congress need to get a grip on.
Yeah. And what I guess I take away from all this, Steve Malloy, senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy and author of Junk Science and blogger extraordinaire at junkscience.com, is that the more light can be applied to this, the proverbial antiseptic effects of the sunshine is clearly needed. And to the extent that we can particularly stave off, at a time of ostensible budgetary austerity and the need for greater discipline, wasting money, whether it's directly down rat holes at the UN or indirectly through the kinds of effects that you're suggesting the Obama EPA will impose on our economy and our industries and society. It's much needed, and we appreciate you spending a little time for that purpose with us, Steve Malloy. Come back to us again soon. I hope all the rest of you will as well. Tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.